Well, good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Lou from Crossbridge Community Church. We thank you for joining us today on the Lord's Day to worship. So as we come together, I just ask that we just pause for a moment and ask the Lord to clear our hearts and minds so we can worship Him in spirit and truth. We were made to worship. Singing. As we come to service this morning, I chose Psalm 136. It's one of the psalms I did with you devotionally this week, but it's so good. We get a song from it, a couple of songs from it, if you look at the words closely. But we're going to look at the first four verses, and the psalmist gives us reasons for giving thanks to God. So, would you read this along with me, or if you're watching us via Facebook, if you have your Bible, it's Psalm 136, starting at verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders." Can you say amen to that? "His love endures forever. So would you sing about him who sits on the throne?
You know, I think sometimes Christians, believers, we're lumped into a box that says we're not passionate, we're not fighters, we're not warriors, you know? We're just nice guys. Well, you know, God calls us to be warriors at times, to go out and fight for what's right. And he gives us the tools that we need. And the biggest thing he gave us was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And through Christ, we can do all things, right? Right, guys?
Right.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
So, here's an oldie.
One of the things that's interesting to note in the Bible, and if you do careful study of this, anytime God had directed Israel to go to war, it wasn't the troops that he sent first. It was the choir. And that held for every time as long as Israel was obedient. It was the choir to prepare the way for the battle that was really the Lord's. And the battle is still the Lord's. And you and I are in that battle every day, whether we're still in lockdown or we're able to work or whatever the day brings us, we are still in that battle. And worship is so important to preparing for what God has for us. Not only worship, but being in the Word, prayer, and fellowship. So I want to read this to you, Acts 2:42. We're going to look at this more in depth in the coming weeks. But would you listen to the words of Dr. Luke? It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Well, what is that? The scriptures. And to fellowship, being together in unity. To the breaking of bread, that's a community meal most likely, or could be the Lord's Supper. And to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. I still believe God does many wonderful things, and he performs many of those wonders through his people, his church. And if we're not too busy and too caught up in our own circumstances, we can stand in awe and wonder of them. So would you join me, please, as we sing about the beautiful one who we worship, the beautiful one who empowers us by grace to go forward. I look forward to the day we're all together again and we could lift the roof off his place. Would you join me for prayers? We start to open up a little bit. Some of the restrictions we've been living under for good reasons are beginning to be lifted, but we still need to pray for people on the front lines, people who are in the workplace, people behind the scenes. And we just need to ask God's continued protection on them. So would you join me in prayer, please? Father, as we as you are gracious enough to give us another day, we are so grateful for your provision, your blessings, and all of this. Father, we ask you to be with families who have either struggled with this COVID-19 virus or even lost loved ones, Father. We ask that you restore and refresh and renew and provide for every need. We ask for our workers, Father, in the hospitals, whether they be physicians, nurses, support staff, our delivery people on the roads, the truck drivers, the retail workers, the supermarket workers, the pharmacists, that you continue to watch over them. Father, the repair guys, the ones who continue to bring us our utilities and so forth and come to the houses to fix things when we have a problem, we just ask your protection on them. For our first responders, our police force, and our first aiders, we ask your blessing and your protection. And Father, as we continue to worship, as we look at your scriptures that says no matter what, the church must still be the church, and we will move on, not in our power, but in yours. And so, Father, would you be honored today in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
One of the marks of the church is unity. And as we sing this song, can we sing it prayerfully, please? Stuff. I hope you were blessed by the music today. I certainly was. And again, I want to thank the praise people for helping out in this way. This is a sacrifice they make every week. They've been doing it now. I think this is our eighth or ninth week of ninth of doing this. So, you know, Lord willing, we'll be back together again. But let me just encourage you, just because we can't see each other physically, as you're blessed by the music and the service, would you let the praise team know? Send them an email or say something on Facebook just to show how much we appreciate them and their ministry, because God's used them in a mighty way. You know, no matter what we're facing these days, as I've been reading the scriptures, particularly in Acts, we're going to be in Acts chapter 1, verse 12. And the Lord just continues to impress upon me that no matter what we're facing, the church has to be the church. Has to. Just because we're in a quote-unquote lockdown doesn't mean that the church stops being the church. The church is not a building, you know that. The church is a group of people who have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, sinners saved by grace, who come together to worship, who come together to pray, who come together to hear the word, who come together to minister together, not only within the church, but outside these four walls as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to set the context with you, because we're in a state in this part of Acts where the disciples had just gone through a roller coaster. They saw their master killed on the cross. And then 3 days later, he was resurrected to their surprise. And they are told by Jesus before he ascended into heaven to go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. How many of you out there like to wait? Would you raise your hand? Waiting's tough. Nobody likes to wait these days, especially in our culture. Our culture is so instant and so pragmatic, we want results yesterday. But sometimes we have the directions from our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to wait. But in that waiting, we still need to be obedient to God. So the disciples had some issues to resolve while they waited. The church today has some issues to resolve while we wait. Before we come together again. And I'll go into that a little deeper in a moment. The first order of business was for the disciples to choose a replacement for Judas. If you remember, Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus for blood money, the scripture calls it, for some silver. And he, in his guilt, if I could put it that way, ended up hanging himself in a field. And when his body dropped to the ground, his body just actually split right open. It's a horrible death, a horrible scene. And we're going to see that in a minute. So the disciples met in an upper room. So let me take you from there. It says, then the disciples returned to Jerusalem on Jesus' direction to wait for the Holy Spirit from the hill called the Mount of Olives. How appropriate. If you remember, the Mount of Olives is the place where Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount. It was a Sabbath day's walk from the city. It says, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. This might be the same upper room where they had the Last Supper with Jesus. And here were those who were present. It's kind of an impressive list if you look at it. Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Not Judas Iscariot, this is a different Judas. So there were 11 of them present. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Now, let me just take a step back here. There were 120 people in that upper room with the disciples. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women who were there, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with Jesus' brothers. This is an incredible picture. One of the things that you and I have to do as we go forward, being the church, and we're going to see this played throughout Scripture, it was true then, it's true now, is that they were constantly joined together in fellowship. Wow. Now, I know part of that's lacking right now because we can't see one another, but that doesn't mean we can't stay in touch with one another. They believed in the unity of the fellowship. They learned from one another. Men and women together, by the way, that was a no-no in Jesus' day. You never had men and women together in a setting like this. Women were to be on the outskirts, but men and women together, they learned they were on a common journey and a common mission. That hasn't changed for us. We're on a common journey and a common mission. They knew that Jesus was their leader, their master. He was the one who was going to go before them. And so, what's the common journey? Well, there's a couple of facets to that. We have the Great Commission. Go into your world, teaching all that Jesus has taught you. That's part of our commission. That's not just for pastors. That's for all of us in the church. Making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the promise with that is that Jesus will be with us until the end of this age, when he comes back for us. And so we have that promise along with the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and might. And love your neighbor as yourself. If there's something that we might be able to do now, still observing social distancing and all the protocols, we may be able to learn to love our neighbors a little bit more. And not be arrogant with the gospel, but let them see the gospel in us, work in and through us. But they were together. They joined together in fellowship. Come today, we're able to be together again. This is important. This is one of the toughest things for me as a pastor with this whole lockdown, is not to see you, not to be with you. There's something special that happens when Christ followers get together. And so they believed in the unity of the fellowship. There's something to note here. If you remember, Peter denied Christ three times before Jesus went to the cross. And we saw how Peter was restored, how Jesus graciously restored Peter. And in this upper room, there was no complaining. There was nothing to say, hey, Peter, you don't belong here, or criticism or anything like that. They were united. They were united around their mission and their fellowship. Second, I want to show you that they believed in prayer. They believed in prayer. I will say this, you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again, that without prayer, nothing happens, individually or corporately. They joined in prayer. It says, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. And then he started to explain some of the scriptures to them. But before that, they prayed constantly. They prayed with anticipation. You know what the anticipation was? That Jesus was going to answer. Maybe not the way they wanted the prayer to be answered, but in a way that was perfect, God's way. They prayed and they were willing to wait on God in prayer. Jesus modeled this for us. When before he made major decisions, he would many times spend a whole night in prayer. And then, as he received the leading from his Father, he would make those decisions. It is interesting that these disciples, this congregation of 120, if you will, at this point, had a problem they had to figure out. Right now, physically, their master wasn't with them, but they still knew they had to go on. And they knew that God would give them the Holy Spirit to empower them to go on. But they needed to be obedient in the meantime, so they believed in the unity of the fellowship, and they believed in prayer. And so they prayed. They didn't hold a business meeting. They prayed. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from that. Let's go on, and we'll see that they also believed in the Word of God, that God would lead them through the Word. This is Peter now, the one who denied Christ only a few days prior. He says, brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. When the payment he received for his wickedness, or with the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. A gruesome sight, and what a tragic end. Jesus gave him every opportunity to truly repent and believe, and he refused. It says, everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in the language Ek Eldama, which in the Hebrew means field of blood. If you remember, the silver that Judas accepted to betray Jesus was called blood money. So how appropriate was this? Peter continued, for it is written in the book of Psalms. This is great. He goes to the scripture. May his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership. That was the reason for them meeting and praying and seeking God's will. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us. And now you get the qualifications for an apostle. From the beginning of John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, one of them must become a witness with us of his resurrection. An apostle had to be a witness of Christ's ministry and his resurrection. So they nominated two men. Two men, I'm sure they were both good men. Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. And then look what they did again. They prayed. Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen. They believed in the power of the unity of the fellowship. They believed in the power of prayer. They believed in the fact that God would lead them through the scriptures. And they also believed that God ultimately would help them resolve this issue. And so, let me go back. It says, show us which one of these two you have chosen to take over the apostolic ministry, which Judas left us where he belongs. When they cast lots, the lot fell on Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Well, this had to be a great day because now Judas was replaced. They had another man to join in the work that lay forward for them. So they believed God would lead them. He did through the word. There was a process in this that they were led to do. There was agreement and there was a firm decision as God directed. I want you also to know when things didn't go the way of the other man didn't just up and leave and say, I'm done. He was still part of the fellowship. So I wonder, as we go forward, I wonder how much of this we still need today. And I'm going to suggest to you that we need every aspect of this, especially now, especially as we wait to see where God will lead us from here. You know, there's a whole lot of possibilities. We're working on some innovative things right now. We'll hope to give you some more news within the near future on those things. But we still have to be the church. We still need to fulfill the commission God gives to us. We still need to fulfill the great commandment. But we can only do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own power. We can only do that if we believe in the unity of fellowship. Just because you are not here today physically doesn't mean we're not united. We are still united in Christ. I can't emphasize that enough. The same Holy Spirit who lives in me lives in you if you're a Christ follower. We are united in Christ. We need to value the fellowship. We need to pray constantly. Whether we pray over Zoom right now or however that works out, you pray with one another over the phone. We need to pray constantly with anticipation, waiting on God and knowing that he will guide us. We need to be steeped in the scriptures because that's principally how God guides us today. Through the word and trust God in the process. Trust the Holy Spirit that he will make the word come alive in our lives. And so every day, whether this lockdown is still on or not, you and I have some opportunity to be Jesus to someone else. Whether it's when we're out in public with masks on in the supermarket or wherever that may be, or whether it be talking to our neighbor, whether it would be over the phone or through email, whatever it is, we can still, with the help of the Holy Spirit, be Jesus to others. And through this all, the big climax of all of this, by the way, is Pentecost. Pentecost, as we'll start to see in the coming weeks, is where God sends his Holy Spirit to empower the church to go on. Well, for us, our advantage is we have the Spirit here and now. So we will go on. One way or another, we will go on as a church. We will go on into the battle. Now, our battle is not military. Our battle is against spiritual forces. Let me tell you, you and I both know that when we take a step of faith in every area, Satan is going to be there to try to discourage us, to try to put obstacles in our way. Well, we're just not going to let that happen. We're going to go on in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are going to go on and be the church, whether we're able to physically meet or not. We're going to go on knowing that our Master, Jesus Christ, will lead us if we submit to Him, if we submit to the Holy Spirit, and let the Spirit empower us by His grace to be the church. I can't emphasize this enough because in this type of environment, we could easily become complacent. We can easily say, okay, church is adjourned until the authorities say we can come back again. No, that's not true. Church hasn't been adjourned. It will never be adjourned. The body of Christ will go on no matter what is happening around us. Whether we have to be innovative, however form that takes place, but the body of Christ will not be stopped by anyone or anything. Amen. And so, let me just ask you these questions. Are you committed to the unity of the fellowship? Do you believe in the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit? And do you believe that God will lead us in power, even under these circumstances? I hope you do, and I hope you join me in going forward, not in our power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, because He's the only one that could give us both the desire and the power to do so. Amen? I have to look at today as another day closer to the day where we're going to see each other physically. I also have to look at it as another day closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Both are going to be great. And so as we go forward, let's go forward with the leading of the Spirit under the direction of the Word as our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, goes before us. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up. And as we close, remember this, that the kingdom of God is not has never been won by a militant attitude. It has always been won by love. And so as we go forth as Christian soldiers, our principal task is to love people with the love of Jesus Christ.
One thing I like about this song, the theme is, He's calling. He's calling us. Whether you choose to listen, ignore, hear, curious, whatever, he's calling. And I think we need to sometimes just be still and listen to his still small voice. He's a gentleman, but he wants a relationship with us. So why don't you join us?
Calling.
Let's go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are still the church. We still have a mission. Let us love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our might. And let us love our neighbor as we love ourselves. God bless you all. Hope to see you tomorrow on Facebook. And Lord willing, have a great day. Enjoy your family. God bless.
Amen.